Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about just how much is going on for property investors at the moment. Like, you probably don't realise that there are about 6 years of changes happening in just the next 6 months. I mean, bright line tests go back to 2 years. Interest deductibility, back in. Residential Tenancies Act, big changes on the way. DTI is coming in. LVR's changing. High interest rates are still around, but inflation's dropping a bit. Maybe we'll get some decreases over the next 12 months in interest rates. There is so much going on, and it's all happening at once. So let's just go through this and recap, because often we'll do like individual podcasts on each of these, and then it's not till you put them all together that you're like, oh, wow, there's a lot of change. So let's start with probably the most positive. What is the biggest change impacting property investors this year, Andrew?
So we'll start with two of the goodies. The bright line test change, followed by the reinstatement of interest deductibility. Those two are going to be major for investors. And look, we've covered a lot of this on the podcast, but in 2021, the Labor government doubled the bright line from 5 years to 10 years for any existing properties.
And specifically, talking about the bright line test, this is so important. I'm getting so many questions about this. I had like five emails back and forth with one podcast listener the other day who was like, I think a lot of people are misreading the IRD website at the moment. What they're saying is that if you sell a property after the 1st of July, the bright line test is 2 years. So if you sell it. So it doesn't mean if you buy a property after the 1st of July, the bright line is 2 years. It's if you sell the property after the 1st of July. So everybody's bright line test goes back to 2 years. I've had so many questions about that. That's what the rule is. Now, this is really interesting because if we think about the new bright line test, the family home, that's still going to be excluded and there's going to be no difference between a new build or an existing property. Now, what does that all mean for the housing market? It's probably going to be a bit of a green light in that it's going to make people feel a bit more confident in purchasing an investment property. In the short term, it's probably going to keep property prices maybe a little bit lower. I was recently on News Talk ZB on the One Roof radio show, and a caller picked up the phone and said, Ed, you know, how many properties are going to be coming to market now that people can sell them without paying capital gains tax?
Did we do a podcast on that?
Yeah, we ran the numbers. Yeah. So on the 1st of July, calendar ticks over, about 250,000 properties will no longer be subject to the bright line test. Now, we estimate maybe a third of those roughly will be investors. So somewhere between 75,000 up to 100,000 properties could be owned by investors. Previously, if they sold it, they'd have to pay a big fat capital gains tax, but now they can sell it without having to pay tax under the bright line. Now, not everybody's going to sell because some of those investors might be in negative equity, unfortunately. And
or might just not want to sell.
Or might not want to sell. So not all of those are coming to market, but I expect that we probably will see quite a few more listings on the market from the 1st of July, and that will temporarily keep prices lower than they would otherwise be. And I was actually thinking it was probably quite a smart political move out of the government because if you're like, sweet, we want to change all of these tax rules for property investors. That could potentially add some heat into the housing market. Oh, but we'll change the rules so that we get more listings come onto the market. I think that's almost a certainty. And then, Andrew, after all of that, we're going to see changes to the tenancy laws.
Yeah, so there are two big things. The first one we spoke about last week, the pet bonds. And then the second thing is there's going to be changes to the termination rules for tenancies. So specifically, we're getting the no-cause terminations back. So that means that if you've got a tenant in your property and you want to give notice and they're not on a fixed tenancy, you can do so. Now, there's something in it for tenants as well. This isn't all just about lucky landlords. Tenants are now going to be able to give 3 weeks notice rather than 4 weeks notice if, again, they're in a periodic tenancy.
Yeah, our property managers are pretty excited around the 90-day no-cause termination coming back, or as you like to say, Andrew, 90-day no-stated-cause termination. And the reason some of our property managers are quite excited is that at the moment, to boot out a tenant on a periodic tenancy, they have to be late on their rent, I think it's 3 times in a row within 90 days.
Yeah. So if you miss 2 payments and then you make up the rest, then you've fallen into a new 90-day cycle.
Yeah. So what some of our property managers were saying is that there are a couple of tenants who know these rules well. And so the day before the landlord's got the right to give notice, they'll quickly pay a week's worth of rent so that a new 90 days starts again. And so there are some tenants, not a lot of tenants, it's not every tenant, it's probably just a very small minority out there who are gaming the system and not living up to their end of the bargain, not following what they've agreed to in their tenancy agreement. And so what are property managers and property investors going to be able to do? They're going to say, rightio, 90-day no-cause termination. You've been late too often. We're going to give you notice now. So that will have quite a big impact as well. Now, when do those changes get introduced by Andrew?
So the tenancy changes, the 90-day no-cause termination, that bill is introduced next month. So the rules will come in early next year. Date's not confirmed yet. The pet bond changes, we got an update from the government and they're saying that it'll be in force by the end of next year. So we're still a wee way off getting that, but it is in the pipeline. Now, what does this do for the housing market? Well, this is definitely a green light for the housing market. And I think for landlords, there'll be a lot of landlords that have been sitting back over the last few years thinking it's really too hard to be a landlord now. And so they either haven't been buying properties or they've been selling properties. This will give investors a bit more confidence that they can be a landlord and have a bit more flexibility with their asset.
Do you reckon that's going to mainly impact investors who have been in the market for a while and been investors for maybe a couple of decades, have previously had those more lax rules, then it got too hard, they're like, oh, I'm sick of this. Rules change, then they come back in?
I think a bit of that, but I also think your average punter on the street that's thinking about investing, reading about all these restrictions, might also hear a bit more positive sentiment as well.
Now, there's one other big change that's come out recently, which is I just saw this week some articles about easing of the mortgage lending restrictions.
Yeah, I read an article on the newspaper at the weekend talking about the rewrite of the Triple CFA. So remember, Triple CFA came in to basically eliminate loan sharks and payday lenders. That had that desired effect, but also then it captured all the banks and banks got really nervous about lending to people who couldn't necessarily afford the mortgage. And so they went into greater scrutiny when they were assessing people's applications about what they were spending their money on now. So the government's going to completely rewrite the Triple CFA again, just to make sure it's targeting the right people and allowing banks to lend money again to a first-time buyer that has been signed up to the gym, but it's going to drop that gym membership.
So you read the article, I did it. When's that coming in by?
I don't think it had a date on it at this stage.
Oh, Andrew Bailey, you saucy minx. The other big one is debt-to-income restrictions. So Triple CFA will be a bit of a green light to the property market. DTIs will be a bit more of an orange light for it because this is going to limit how much money you're able to borrow from the bank to go buy a property to 7 times your income if you're an investor, 6 times your income if you're an owner-occupier. Now, there's a bit of misinformation going on, even from some of the banks. I had one listener of the show email me saying, Ed, I talked to my personal banker, and I think it was at ASB, and they're saying that the way it's calculated if I want to buy an investment property is that 6 times my personal income and 7 times the rent. No, that's incorrect. That's wrong. Your banker has given you the wrong information. It's if you are an owner-occupier, it's 6 times your income. Now, if you're an investor, it's 7 times your income. Now, that means I am an investor because I get rental income. But if I want to go and buy a house for myself, it's still 7 times my income because I am an investor. It's not about whether you are purchasing an owner-occupier home or you are purchasing an investment property. It's whether you are an investor or whether you are an owner-occupier and don't have any investment properties.
And that's because as an investor, you're likely to carry more debt.
And I think that probably the banks need to do a bit more training around this because I think we're going to get more of this. Even with the LVR restrictions, there are still people in banks who will give out wrong information. And it's very tempting to say, oh, but they work for a bank and therefore they must be correct. Well, not everybody in the bank goes through and reads the official LVR documents or the DTI framework. So just important to try and make sure you're getting the best information when it comes to these because there are some people out there saying wrong things. Other big change is the LVR restrictions. So investors soon will only need a 30% deposit rather than a 35% deposit. And more people who are buying their own homes will be able to borrow with that lower level of deposit. It's going from 15% of people to up to 20% of people. We should have an announcement around that kind of June, July.
I think one of the big things here is you might think, oh, it's only a 5% difference from 35 to 30% deposit required. But if you've got multiple properties, that unlocks quite a lot more equity. Plus, you get 2 bites of the cherry. You get your lower deposit on your requirements on your existing properties, but then also a lower deposit on your property you're purchasing. So it can have a major impact if you're a portfolio investor.
So it's kind of 2 green lights and an orange light there. The Triple CFA is a green light. The LVR changes, that's a green light. You know, it's going to be good for the housing market. In terms of an orange light, that's the DTIs because that's going to slow some lending down. But then we've got stuff around interest rates as well.
Yeah, and I think this is probably one of the biggest considerations for an investor at the moment, because interest rates are so high, therefore your cash flow is going to be pretty poor unless you're putting in a massive cash deposit. Now, the OCR stayed at 5.5% this month. Annual inflation dropped to 4% as per the stats last week. But a big part of that is the domestic inflation, which is still quite high. And so banks are revisiting their forecast for the first OCR cut. Kiwibank and ASB think November at the earliest, whereas Westpac forecast the first cut in February. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how long interest rates, the rates that we pay, the card and interest rates, are going to remain as high as they are. They might come down because wholesale rates may drop. However, it does mean that there's probably going to be a bit of perception in the market that interest rates are going to stay higher for longer. So that's probably an orange to a red light.
And then we've, on top of that, got the house price recovery, which is still happening. So in some places like Otago and Dunedin, property prices are rocketing up pretty quickly, actually. In some other parts of the country, like in the Bay of Plenty, the market is relatively flat. And so if you add all of this up, there is a lot going on. We've already had the first tranche of interest deductibility come back. That happened on the 1st of April, just gone. We've got Brightline changes coming in July. We've got DTI and LVR announcements. That's coming probably June, July is when I'd expect all of those to come in. We've got changes in interest rates that are either going to happen at the end of this year to early next year. Triple CFA, tenancy changes. Like, there is so much going on. And that's why it is 6 years of changes happening in about 6 to 12 months. And it's not until you take a step back that you go, holy heck, like, some things are really going to start to heat up. Now, the purpose of this podcast isn't to say, go buy now, right? It's just to say, this is everything that's going on. And then we all get to make our decisions about how do we read these changes? What do we think the net effect is going to be? And is now the right time, or should we wait, or should we hold, should we sell? We all interpret this differently. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Property Academy podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, I want you to come to our upcoming webinar, Tuesday, the 14th of May, 7 p.m. This is going to be where we show you how to build a $100,000 passive income plan in just 52 minutes. It is going to be an awesome webinar. Links down in the show notes, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.